Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
The Avalanche get a 2-1. What kind of win?
Overtime shootout win.
Yes, but in Canada, it's a
shootout win.
Shootout.
Shootout,
as they called it.
A shootout.
Nathan MacKinnon, the shootout hero.
Well, does MacKinnon use that Nathan MacKinnon-like speed? He's 1-for-4 as he kicks it into high gear. It scores.
Beautiful move.
Beautiful move.
Dude, MacKinnon, like when he, you imagine how tight you're puckered up as a goalie.
Oh, boy.
That dude's coming down.
Oh, boy.
At 100 miles an hour.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is, you want to talk about creating diamonds.
Good road win for the Avalanche. They went in against a high-powered Toronto team, and actually it was one of those games where I think the Avs said, you know what, let's do on the road what teams try to do to us when they come into our building.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of slow it down a little bit, muck up the middle of the ice. We're going to be really disciplined. The Avs played a terrific defensive game, just a really strong, disciplined defensive game. Alexander Georgiev only faced 11 shots through the first two periods, and then was real good in the shootout, stopping all three opportunities for Toronto. Good two points.
I'm going to text Kenny Albert, who was on the game yesterday, and let him know that they can't, as a broadcast team, they can't go to the bench enough and show Jared Bednar. He looked taut. Looked taut.
Dude, when does he not look taut?
When he's disheveled after they win the cup, and he's a little drunk and a little teary. He got a little emotional. Poor little guy.
Yeah, but once
he's
drunk.
Yeah, but once he's behind the bench,
you can't flash them European suits
enough. Flappable.
Second down.
Avs in Ottawa tonight. Michael Malone facing a must win tonight with his team in Detroit.
It's been a broken record the last three games, and I give our guys credit for fighting all the way back and cutting it to 3 points in the fourth, but two things jump out to me. One, when you expend so much energy getting back in a game, you have nothing left to finish. And two, who the hell are we to think we can play three quarters and win a game? Like, everybody we play is playing for something. Maybe we've got a little soft with success.
Okay, I'm going to go down this road. Shouldn't give it oxygen, but I'll do it. James Marilat saying yesterday that Malone is coaching for his job over these next four games. Is there any scenario that you could see Michael Malone, even if they lost the next four games and had an eight-game losing streak, getting fired?
No. Now, if they show up to the first round with the number one seed, and are Lakers, like the Lakers are playing great basketball right now, right? They get
great,
in the eighth seed.
Great. Really? You want to use that? They just lost. They lost to the Rockets last night.
Oh, up until last night, they were playing really good basketball.
They lost 114-110 to the Rockets in Houston. Although the Rockets, that's two in a row. They beat the Celtics the other night, too. So
don't sleep on the Rockets.
Just further proof that
well, no, listen, no.
These
if they
NBA
win
games.
If they lose the next four, no. He's not getting fired. But if they lose in the first round?
Folks, you don't know. I don't think you want to hear this. I know the fans don't want to hear this. But I'm telling you, the more I'm hearing is that Malone is basically safe no matter what happens in the playoffs. Like, no matter what.
Yeah. I can understand that, in that the superstar of the league, the soon-to-be three-time MVP, loves him.
But will he love him if they get beat in the first round of the playoffs? Because I'm with you. As long as Jokic loves himself some Malone, Malone's got the ultimate job security.
Well, there's already a built-in excuse. If Murray's struggling, and we have seen him struggle, and we've seen him lose not that he's always had a great shot, but we've seen him lose his legs a little bit, so he's lost his shot a bit. And he certainly didn't have the ability to elevate the other night. He didn't look the same. Like, you've got a built-in excuse if he's not healthy.
Third down.
Nathaniel Hackett's role on getting Aaron Rodgers to want to play for the Jets.
There's, you know, a lot of reasons why, you know, the Jets are attractive. But, you know, there's one coach who's been as much to me as any coach I've ever had. And he happens to be the coordinator there. So.
Okay, so that did matter when it happened. Okay, and it ended up mattering, potentially.
It didn't matter at the time, for sure. But there was obviously, a, you know, an interest from them and just from, you know, quite a few other teams. But that seemed to be the...
Hackett was at the bottom of the bottom, remember?
Time.
That's the Pat McAfee show. Aaron Rodgers saying he wants to play for the Jets. And it sounds like the only thing needing to happen now is just the two sides working out a deal. But this is shades of the Sean Payton and the Saints and the Broncos working out a deal. That once Payton said, this is where I want to go, a deal was going to get done. So this is going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Jet. He's going to be reunited with Nathaniel Hackett, which just, man, that was the plan here. That was the plan.
It would have worked.
And it would have worked?
If it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Yeah, it would have worked. Mm-hmm. Why are you so confident it would have worked?
Well, one, they'd have been on the same page. He understands the supreme skill set that Aaron Rodgers has, and Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett would speak the same language, and then Aaron Rodgers would be doing things that he's capable of doing. So Hackett put in an offense and then realized at some point Russell can't do these things, and Russell wants to do things he can't do, and he wasn't given authority to actually coach the team. So he had to acquiesce. I mean, that's a mess.
I want to come back to this topic because I threw this out in the first hour, got some responses to it. I'll welcome more. How would things have been the same if Aaron Rodgers had come here? How would they have been different?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to...
I think it's fair.
We'll get to some of that coming up.
1, 2, 3! Fourth down.
Boy, Mike Trout. Mike Trout needs to escape the Angels just so we get to watch him on the big stage because, man, this guy is special.
Triple and an RBI single for the captain. Left, that's a base hit. Betts got a great jump. Scoring is Smith. Betts right behind him. 3-2 USA and all the damage from Mike Trout.
Have you been watching the World Baseball Classic?
No, I have not.
Well, that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
Being the seam head that you are.
So, I mean, I've watched highlights, but I haven't watched the games.
I've watched some of it. I love it. It's high tempo, high stakes baseball. The players are clearly into it. They love playing for their country.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about just how laid back everything is in spring training, to see these guys able to just immediately amp it up to 80 miles an hour is really cool to watch. But we got evidence of why not everybody's a fan of this World Baseball Classic, because you do have really good players making millions of dollars who are out there playing for their country. And meanwhile, their teams that are paying them have to watch Edwin Diaz, the Mets closer, sound the trumpets. He suffered a right knee injury for Puerto Rico while they were celebrating after he just closed out the game. They were in the middle of the field doing like a big
huddle, jumping around. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's down in a heap.
Yeah.
And guys are crying, and he's being wheeled off in a wheelchair. And they fear that he suffered a significant injury that's going to keep him out for a good amount of time. So
there's no crying in baseball. We've already established that. Tom Hanks established that. Yeah, that's a tough one, Mike. They carted him off in like a wheelchair with his leg all.
Yeah.
Maybe. I hope it's just a... I hope it's your Boston guy. I hope it's a Paul Pierce injury.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right.
Dude got wheeled off in a wheelchair and came back and went MVP.
I think he just accidentally pooped his pants. Had to get on the wheelchair because he didn't want people to see this
Oh, my God. That'll do it for four down territory.
I think that's what happened.
It's amazing because normally it's impossible, but every once in a while you disgust me.
Yeah.
You really do.
I think that's
it's not often, but there are times that even I am disgusted by you. That will do it for a four down territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene.
So nobody saw the gravy stain.
Oh, God. Superbook Sports presents the Denver Sports 5K Bracket Challenge. Still time to sign up before the madness begins here in a couple hours. Just go to denversports.com/bracket. Sign up. It's free. All you have to do is pick the winner of the games. The winner of each round receives tickets to every concert at Cheyenne Frontier Days. The grand prize winner takes home $5,000. It's all presented by Xfinity 10G, Phil Long Ford, and Twin Peaks. So, if Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett was the plan here in Denver, how would that have worked out as we enter our parallel universe next?
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress. Relax in your tub or shower from Bathfitter. Bathfitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit bathfitter.com today.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
The RamosLaw.com apology line is open for all of you to come on and apologize to Mark Schlereth.
It's true. I'm accepting apologies, people.
You did get the last laugh.
Yeah.
Because you were right. I mean, I always knew you were right.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been proven right about your report on draft night a couple years ago when you said, I'm hearing that a Bronco Aaron Rodgers deal is in the works and is likely to get done. It's not for sure. Could still fall apart, but it is happening. And look at what's happened since then. The hiring of Nathaniel Hackett, we all suspected there was something there, even though when they ended up getting Russell Wilson, George Payton came out and said this was plan A all along. They'd been working on this for a couple years. I call BS on that. But you know, look at what happened yesterday.
And by the way, they also said that they had no official talks with the Green Bay Packers.
Correct.
Yeah, so you just have to understand that anytime those things go down, everybody's lying because that's their job. It's their job to lie.
We got all the clarification we needed yesterday when Aaron Rodgers went on and said, yeah, I want to play for the Jets, and one of the big reasons why is Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just call it what it is. And what happened a couple of years ago, the Packers got cold feet. They were definitely ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers, but they just weren't sure about Jordan Love. They got cold feet. Now they don't have cold feet. They're ready to move on, and he's moving on to the Jets. Here's my question. It's a great hypothetical. Enter the parallel universe. Had that deal gone down, and Aaron Rodgers comes here to Denver, Nathaniel Hackett is his head coach, how would it have been the same? How would it have been different from what we saw last year?
Yeah, I think how would it have been different? Let me start there. I think there would have been, one, instant assimilation into that offense. Aaron knows Nathaniel. Nathaniel knows Aaron. They're on the same page. They understand how that offense works. They understand what you know his capabilities are, what he likes, what he doesn't like. All that was new with Russell Wilson. And on top of that, Russell Wilson was trying to prove that Russell Wilson was more than just a quote-unquote system quarterback. So he got here and he had things to prove. Now, what he proved was that he ain't ready for primetime, that he ain't that guy. That's what he proved. And that's not a negative. That's like he is what he is. And he wasn't ready to take on the entirety of a new offense. So there would have been a much smoother transition, and that offense would have been much better under Aaron Rodgers. What would have been the same, Mike, is there still would have been issues with clock management, some of the other things that were a problem. But they definitely offensively would have been, you know, way better than way better than dead last in every statistical.
But you
category.
You said that they'd have been in the playoffs.
I said they would have been pushing for a wild card spot.
So that means 9, maybe 10 wins.
Yes.
So there's no doubt the offense would have been better. or at least the communication, the symmetry between the synergy between Rodgers and Hackett would have been better.
Like they would have won 10 games if they just scored. Wait a minute, if they just scored 20 points a game,
good point.
They would have won. Like you can't tell me that they don't go from 14 to 21 or 23 points a game with Aaron Rodgers in an offense that he is a master of.
But I'm still assuming the injuries. Okay, if we're talking about you know how things would have been different, how they would have been the same. I don't think all of a sudden just the presence of Aaron Rodgers means guys don't get hurt. You still have the same kind of training camp. You're still doing the jog throughs. Mm-hmm. The starters still aren't playing. Aaron Rodgers is dealing with a whole new group of receivers.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line stinks. The injuries. Nathaniel Hackett is still the same overmatched in-game coach that we saw. I don't know. It would have been better. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been better, but you're talking them about basically doubling what they ended up doing last year.
Yeah, I'm saying four more wins. But it's an easy four more wins because if you look at what would their record have been if they just scored 18 points a game? They'd have been like, at one point, they'd have been like 9-2 at 18 points a game. That defense was so good. And can you imagine that defense would be that much better if all of a sudden you had a couple of leads and you had to force the ball, you had to throw the ball? It would have been a completely different scenario had Aaron Rodgers been here simply because of familiarity and the way, like, one thing about Aaron is you're putting in that offense that Aaron knows like the palm of his hand.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Well played.
Okay, thank you. Because
who really knows about the back of their hand?
Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody.
The palm of their hand.
He knows that thing. I mean, he knows that thing like a tub of ghee butter. I mean, he knows.
Smooth.
It's smooth. And so he could have given the nuance to his receivers. Like that progression would have happened more quickly. Like all that stuff would have mattered. It would have mattered big time. And anyhow.
So you're putting very little then of what happened last year on Nathaniel Hackett. Nathaniel Hackett, in your mind, all I'm hearing is that he got completely scapegoated.
Oh, there's no question that Nathaniel Hackett, from a game management standpoint and all that stuff, like that's on him. He wasn't very good at that. But you know what? When you're a first-time head coach, nobody's very good at it. There's guys that have been head coaches for a long time. Andy Reid is not great in those scenarios. So there's a lot of guys that have that issue. That issue would have been covered up because you wouldn't have made a lot of those decisions because your offense would have been so much better with that defense the way it played. You would have won a bunch more games. There's no question. You can't argue the fact that Nathaniel Hackett was never empowered by George Payton, and they made concessions for Russell Wilson. They made a bunch of concessions that, you know, did Nathaniel Hackett zero favors.
It's all about Russ.
Yeah. So I asked similarities and differences had Aaron Rodgers come here. Different. It's all about Aaron, delivered by Coach Hackett. Different. Stink gloating daily about being correct.
That's true. That would have. I'll give you guys that.
Same would have been Zach Bye delivering a shaken, "This is not a drill," upon discovering that Aaron was coming to the Broncos.
That's right.
This is not a drill.
This is not a drill.
Let's ride.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
Big Bye.
Would we all be in love with Aaron Rodgers right now?
Oh, yeah.
Would we all, for all of his quirks, and let's say he went on and did the darkness retreat and everything, yeah. Would we just be like, that is so cool?
We'd have gone along with
it. We'd have gone along with him. That's right.
The darkness
retreat.
By the way.
I think you're right. I think we'd be loving ourselves some Aaron Rodgers right now.
By the way, you know what? Something I want to do later.
Darn Packers getting the cold feet.
Can I do a tease? Something I want to do later.
Sure.
Okay. Just remind me of this, because you write this down.
Write it down. Go ahead. I'm writing it down. Here we go.
What? This draft. What? Not draft. But
oh,
what
boy.
This? Oh yeah. I already screwed
up. Okay. Got to try it. Starting.
What this free agency period tells you about Russell Wilson's tenure here in Denver?
Ooh.
How about that?
All right. All right. I'm writing it down. Yeah. We'll get to that after What's Trending next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
All right, here we go. Here is what is trending. We start with Bones Highland sharing the story of when he returned with the Clippers here to play in Denver.
Yeah.
That apparently their plane was hit by lightning. And witnesses on board said it was one of the most terrifying flights and moments that they'd ever experienced, with the plane just, you know, precipitous drops.
Oh, suck it up, Bones.
Well, no, it wasn't just him.
I don't.
Other people were freaking out.
Ooh, lightning strike on the plane. So what?
So what?
It's a metal tube. It ducts electricity. It's fine. You move on.
Have you ever, in all your years of playing and traveling, you travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have one flight with a team where you thought, ooh, this could be
it? I don't. Flying doesn't really scare me. I've only had a couple of incidences in a plane where I thought, this is probably not a good idea. Yeah. But we did have one where we were landing in Dallas for a preseason game. And we get right down to about, you know, we're about to touch down. And then we just took off, like, straight up in the air. So we're almost touching the ground because apparently there was a plane on the runway or something. So we took off. We did a loop-de-doo. Not inversion, but, you know,
right.
Looped around the
right.
airport. Not like a loop-de-doo. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
Are you saying we went vertical?
Yeah. Dude, we were ready to touch and then just straight in the air.
So here's what it said. The plane dropped in altitude several times. Shrieks could be heard from passengers in what some staffers called one of the worst moments they've experienced on a flight. Shortly after the Clippers landed safely in Colorado, the team saw a mark that took some of the paint off the tail of the plane, the result of a midair lightning strike.
I don't know about all that.
You don't know about that?
I don't know about that. That's a bunch of the Clippers.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Come on. Grow up, guys.
Okay. All right. Mark Schlereth. Tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of planes, the New York Yankees. And Hal Steinbrenner?
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm relishing every moment. The Yankees are cheap. The Yankees will not pay $40,000 for the entire year to put free Wi-Fi on their team plane. The players are responsible for their own Wi-Fi. For 40 grand.
Yeah.
The Yankees.
The Yankees.
The Yankees.
You really need Wi-Fi on your plane? Yeah, you do, I guess.
Yes!
Yeah, all the streaming and all the stuff.
Sure. Spend all that time on planes? Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Yankees. Throw the Wi-Fi on there.
The Yankees. The Yankees are cheap.
How about that? I bet you the Rockies have Wi-Fi.
Right? The Yankees. Those cheap, penny-pinching Yankees. Huh. God. This might be my favorite.
The Rockies also give drink vouchers to the upper deck thing for the players, too. Swing in there, have a drink before the game with some of the fans.
Oh, the Yankees. Say it ain't so. The Yankees cheap?
Wow.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
That might be my favorite What's Trending story ever.
Mm-hmm.
Hear about your guy, Dan Orlovsky?
No, what happened?
Dan admitted.
Oh, I think I did see this.
That he will use the same shower towel for 30 days in a row. Which I found myself going, yeah, I am like that. I will go with the same shower towel.
Yeah, you're clean every time you use it.
Right. Like, so what's the over-under? I'll throw this out for the texters. What's the over-under on how many showers you get and use one towel?
Well, let me ask you this.
I go at least 2 weeks. I'm at least 14 days. At least.
Okay, so here's the deal. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that, but I don't shower every day.
Well, that's not what I'm asking.
All right, so like even if you go 14 days, you're really only going 7 if you shower every other day.
Sure. Okay, let's not go days. Let's go showers. How many consecutive showers will you use the same towel?
I'll be honest. Is this college mark before marriage, or is this... I go as long as my wife until she throws them in. We have a bunch of different towels, so she rotates towels.
Okay. But like, if it was left to you...
I think she does it every week. If it was left to me... Oh, yeah, I'd go at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
At least maybe three. Maybe four. I don't know.
Could you see yourself going 30 consecutive showers with the same towel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I don't think twice about it.
No. I'm really good. I'm a really good shower, though.
How so?
I'm in and out 2 minutes.
Really?
Completely clean. Yep. Bar soap.
I like to linger.
Yeah, I'm bar soap. I don't waste water. Bar soap on top of the head. Boom. In the pits, the bits and pieces. Get it all clear. I'll get all the way down to my feet. That bar soap.
Soap to linger.
I don't linger. I'm in and out. I got business to do.
That'll do it for what is trending. What's trending is the madness is ready to start here in about an hour, 2.5 hours. So we still have time for you to get into our Denver Sports 5K Bracket Challenge presented by Superbook Sports. So you can get to denversports.com/bracket, get yourself signed up, get your whole office signed up. We'll do all the work for you. You can run your very own office pool, and it's all free, and all you have to do is pick the winners of all the games, and you get points for every game that you pick correctly, and for the winner of each round who picks the most games correctly receives tickets to every concert at Cheyenne Frontier Days. The grand prize winner takes home $5,000. It's all sponsored by Xfinity 10G, Phil Long Ford, and Twin Peaks. Register now, denversports.com/bracket. Coming up next, this is Mark's Tease, everybody. This is Mark's. This is all Mark's baby. What does this Bronco free agency period tell you about Russ's tenure with the Broncos? That's next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Here's what's big. Mark came up with a tease, which never happened. So the tease was what?
Never occasionally.
Oh, you just got high-pitched defensive Mark voice right there.
Occasionally it happens.
Never. What do you mean? Never is misleading. It's so misleading the audience.
The tease is what does this Broncos free agency period tell you about Russ's future with the Broncos? Mm. Okay, floor is yours.
So we had the funny text yesterday or the funny tweet yesterday that was Sean Payton's plan. Spend $250 million, $250 million on free agents so the $250 million the Broncos spent last year on a free agent quarterback never has to throw the ball again, which was funny, but it's true. So I dug into some of my notes. A couple of years ago, I called Sean and asked him, hey, man, can you pick a day where you've got a half an hour to go over just kind of game planning with me and what you try to do and how you try to exploit, you know, an opponent's defense and that kind of stuff, just setting the week up and how, you know, you could take the stuff that you do and transition it into what I do on television and help me become better, basically. And so he's, yeah, no problem. So we spent about half an hour on the phone just kind of talking about if you were in my shoes, how would you go about studying film? How would you go about kind of breaking down teams and all this kind of stuff? And then he talked to me about game planning. And there's a couple of things that he said in no particular order. And I went back and dug into my notes from that particular conversation. I still have it on my recordings on my phone. So, you know, I can always go back and listen and kind of pick some things out. And here are some takeaways from that conversation. One, you have to mitigate your own weaknesses. That's your number one game planning strategy. You have to know what you're not good at, and you have to mitigate that. You cannot put people in positions to fail.
Because if you do, you know what's going to happen? They will fail. So mitigate your own potential disasters. One, put your players in a position to succeed. Let them do things that they're good at. Put them in positions to excel in what they do well. Mitigate weaknesses. Put your players in positions to succeed. And lastly, this game is not about athletes. It's about football players. Develop football players. And I think it's pretty simple, Mike, and it's a pretty telling strategy to what's going on here. You know what the weakness is right now? The $250 million you spent last year on a quarterback. So what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to create an offense where we mitigate his weaknesses and we put him in positions to succeed. That's what this offseason's about. You're building an offense to mitigate your quarterback. You're building an offense that can run the ball, that can be effective in play action, that can use a fullback, that can use multiple tight end sets, that can condense formations, that can get in heavy formations and throw the ball out of heavy formations in play action. You are basically saying right now, we're going to build a structure on offense that basically eliminates Russell Wilson's potential for disaster. And we're going to put him in a position to have success.
But see, that's such a negative connotation is that, wow, we have got to put all this stuff into place because otherwise Russ is a disaster. I don't know. How about looking at it this way? How about just go back to doing what Russ did in Seattle? That's all you're doing. Then we would not have been giving up what we gave up and paying what we paid to Russell Wilson if the feeling about Wilson coming out of Seattle was this is a guy who just completely had all these flaws and all these warts just covered by Pete Carroll for 10 years. No, we were feeling like, and most people felt like, you're getting a guy who's on the fast track to being a Hall of Famer. So there's so much negativity in what you just said there that this only contributes to the idea that he's a completely washed quarterback as opposed to being a quarterback that just had a brutal year in a system that either through his fault or no fault of his own wasn't right for him. And all you have to do is get back to doing those things that he was doing in Seattle, which you just described. Yeah, but
that's exactly.
To me, it's not about mitigation. It's just about going back to what his strength is and what made him a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, but it's also mitigating what he doesn't do well, taking that out of the offense.
But I would argue that's why I don't buy the idea, and I think it's a lazy take when I hear, well, everything is about Russ this year. It's all about Russ. Well, duh. I mean, come on, look around the NFL and look at different teams and look at the quarterbacks they have. Of course it's all about that quarterback
sure. For
this year and getting that quarterback either to a winning level or getting him to a different level.
This free agency is all about mitigating, like putting him in a system where he can excel, mitigating his opportunities to be in shotgun, to be three wides. I'll tell you the third part of that
okay. Is
just about football players. Why do you think they're willing? Why do you think right now they're willing to move on from Jerry Jeudy? They ain't getting a first round
no,
from Jerry Jeudy.
No.
You can forget that. I mean, the guy's been injured last couple of years. He's only flashed a handful of times. Like, you ain't getting no first rounder for him. But why are they willing to get rid of him? Because Sean Payton wants what? You sit down in a meeting with Sean Payton, and he goes through his three deep roster. You know what he says? Love this football player. He's a good football player. He always refers to guys as football. Like, he wants football players. And there is a big difference. There is a big difference. We tend to see athleticism. He's looking at football players, and he's looking at the intricacies of the game, and he's looking at Jerry Jeudy going, oh, I can live without him. I can live without Cortland Sutton. I can live without K.J. Hamler. There's a reason that Tim Patrick's name hasn't come up in there, because he's a football player.
He's a football player.
So Yeah, it's interesting when you go back and you look at those things and you say, okay, I see the plan here. The plan is to get back and establish an offense that puts Russell Wilson in the best possible position to do what he's been successful doing and not ask him to do things that he's incapable of doing.
And you know what? If you can do that, then there's no reason why he can't get back to being
absolutely
the Russell Wilson he was in
absolutely
Seattle. Because I went and looked back at it, and the whole idea less is more with Russ, which, by the way, I think could be said about a lot of quarterbacks, probably about 80% of the quarterbacks in today's NFL, probably even higher. It is all about fill in the blank, about that quarterback and what can we do to strengthen that quarterback and mitigate his weaknesses. But here's the thing. During his first nine seasons in Seattle, where he was playing full season, 16 games a year, his average pass attempts per game, what do you think it was? For nine full years.
27.
30.
Yeah.
How many touchdown passes did he average per year during those first 9 years?
32.
30.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not that hard. It goes back to the whole let Russ cook. No, Russ, you're not allowed to cook. You're going to be in charge of salad prep this mm-hmm. year. So, but if you do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in that case, is it all about Russ? Sure. But it's all about Tua in Miami. It's all about Mac Jones in New England. It's all about Daniel Jones with the Giants.
I'll tell you the other thing. You read from just going back through my notes, I go back to the football player aspect of this.
That is so Parcells.
Yeah.
That is so Parcells.
But I go back to that, and you know what they're also saying in this free agency? We don't have enough football players
right
on the team.
Right.
We need some guys that, you know, are more about shortening necks and less about cashing checks.
Oof. Write that down. That's really down.
Really good.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. More about
shortening necks
and not cashing checks.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah, I do. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
It does. Oof, that's another phrase that pays.
Okay, dude. Dudes.
Dudes.
That shorten that necks
are more about shortening.
Okay, while Mark is writing in that very neat, almost high school teenage girl writing of yours, very neat. Do you put little hearts above your eyes, by the way?
Hold on, cashing checks. It does. I do have.
Impeccable. Impeccable. Seriously, look at that. That's beautiful.
Let me take a picture of it and put it out there.
Sure, why not? All right. So that was good. That's good. And that just makes sense. Okay, and it's this. And the reason I hate the whole "it's all about Russ" thing is it's like all you're doing is you didn't learn any lessons from last year, and you're just enabling Russ again, that this is all about enabling Russ, and it's about kowtowing to Russ, and it's about giving Russ whatever he wants. No, that's not the case anymore. There is a new sheriff in town. That is going to end. So when you say it's all about Russ, it implies that Russ is still running the show over there. He's not. That's my pushback to the whole it's all about Russ thing. No, it's about what, as I said, 85% of NFL teams are in the same boat. We've got a quarterback. He's our quarterback for this year. How are we going to get the most out of him? How do we play to his strengths? How do we mitigate his weaknesses? It's all about that quarterback. So if you want to say it's all about Russ, fine. But it's all about Tua. It's all about Mac Jones. It's all about Kenny Pickett. It's all about Deshaun Watson. It's all about Justin Herbert. It's all about Jimmy Garoppolo. You get my point here? It's sure. And these quarterbacks are all in the same boat as Russ. Identical. And I can find more, too.
Yeah, I mean, it is about getting your guy to play great and putting him in a position, just putting him in, like, there is, it's such a negative connotation, and I don't mean it to be. It's just the way we accept it as it's like saying, hey, man, the guy's a system quarterback, or the guy manages the game well. And people have been offended by that. Quarterbacks have been offended by that. I don't find that offensive at all. I find that smart. Tom Brady manages the game well. He did it for 20-plus years.
Do you think Russ, if you could get Russ alone, private moment, pump him full of truth serum, and asked him, do you realize now that Pete Carroll was good for you and that you need to go back to that kind of an offense and it's not about letting you cook? Do you think he'd admit that?
He would. I could just see it now. Well, I've never said that Pete wasn't good for it. He's such a politician.
I know, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you could get him in a truthful moment, maybe that's impossible.
I think that's impossible. I hope it is.
Do you think he thinks that, though? Do you think he?
Oh yeah, I think
privately in his own mind.
But I don't. I think he's been brainwashed into the power of positive thinking and like. I completely disagree. I just think you need to be your own worst critic at times, and you need to look at yourself. Yeah, like one thing that you need, and I'm volunteering for this right now on your team. If there's a position open for this, you need the guy in charge of telling you your poop stinks. And there is nobody better than me for that job. Bring you back down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, toxic positivity
is not, it didn't work.
Just like toxic negativity is no good. You can't walk around your entire life
you need some positive negativity. I'll be your coach of positive negativity.
Yes, that's all it is. Well, there's another word for it that we grew up with.
Right.
It's called constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know the words have probably changed over the years, but boil it all down, it's just constructive criticism. Hey, I'm not looking to bury you. I'm not looking to make you feel bad. I'm just pointing out this is where you got to be better.
Yeah.
And you own it. And you go, okay. That's why it's called constructive, meaning it's here to help you.
Yeah. I sent you a tweet with a little penmanship tweet.
Your penmanship is awesome.
I sent it to you. Just here it is from my day timer. It's called penmanship, Mike.
It's called penmanship. Okay. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bathfitter is in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit Bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bathfitter, it just fits.